Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a difficult text for us this morning. I'm sure that many of you scratch your heads, at least figuratively speaking, after I spoke the words in Luke 12 this morning, and then I said, "This is the gospel of the Lord." And you thought, division and not peace? Family members pitted against each other? That is the gospel? Well, broadly speaking, not narrowly speaking. Narrowly speaking, the gospel is Jesus Christ come for you to give you forgiveness and peace. Peace with God. And peace with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's just jarring enough for us this morning to cause us to think a little bit more about what Jesus is saying. Jesus is talking about what will happen to his disciples, both then and yes, even today, as a result of being called one of his disciples. When Jesus calls you his own, he forgives you of your sins. He snatches you away from the clutches of death and from the kingdom, from the power of the devil. And he says, "You're mine." He takes you away from one kingdom and he places you into his own gracious reign. See, Jesus is not just about breaking up families to break up families. But don't expect the world to love you. Don't expect peace when you don't keep the status quo of a kingdom of captives. Expect division. Expect division to make its way even down the middle of families. Talking about the cross of the Christian. Christ has given you peace with God. But if anyone thinks that being a disciple of Jesus is all about feeling good and smooth sailing and blessing filled with the world's praise and all the stuff that you ever wanted, then you have the wrong Jesus. For if Jesus has gone to a cross to purchase and win you and make you his own under his kingdom, then you should not expect a life without a cross or suffering in this broken world. And in fact, to be in the habit of denying the cross of the Christian is to come perilously close to denying Christ himself. There is no such thing as a Christian without a cross. You know, this is a very important topic for us this morning, too large for just one sermon. You have no worry, I'm not going to preach for an hour this morning. But there are many kinds of crosses. Today, though, we speak of that specific cross that comes from the Christian confession of faith. One thing that remains true for all crosses is that crosses are not chosen. We do not get to pick and choose which struggles in life we go through. If you choose your own cross, then more than likely it's not really a cross. It just quickly becomes a means for self-gratification and puffing ourselves up. You see, the cross comes to us. Specifically, what Jesus is talking about is the crosses that we might even bear in the midst of our families. They are crosses that come about because of the good confession that has been handed down to us. And what is this confession? Well, I invite you all to get your hymnal out. Turn to page 322 in the Small Catechism. And I'm just going to have you follow along with me for a large portion of the sermon this morning. So 322. And specifically, we're looking at the second article of the Creed, the explanation. So what does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. You know, it's not one person's opinion or a best guess. The Church has long confessed that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the fulfillment of the Hebrew Scriptures. And in fact, he is true God, begotten of the Father. And at the same time, he is true man, 100% man. The world does not like this statement. A good teacher, fine. A guy who had some pretty good ideas, sure. Maybe even a God, okay. But the true God? That's where the world draws the line. Jesus, though, does not give us those options. He is either God or he is not. And if he is not, then we should not be reading anything that he ever said. But if he is, and he is, by the way, then he is our Savior. The Savior of the world, for only God can save. And he is fully man, and so you have confidence that he saves you because he became one of you. And he is your Lord. But how did he become my Lord, by the way? Well, we continue in the Small Catechism. Who has redeemed me? A lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all my sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. He has redeemed you, bought you back, paid the price to make you his own. As Paul says, he is the propitiation of our sins, for our sins. Because otherwise, we would be lost and condemned. We would still be in our sins, even death. For Paul says the wages of sin is death. See, sin is not just some little faux pas. Sin needs to die. Don't expect the world to like this either. There are many religions, philosophers, and even some very smart theologians who today refuse to say that we deserve to die because of our sin. See, it makes us uncomfortable to think that sin is really a problem that deserves death. And so you won't have to look very far to find someone who says that problem with sin, oh, it's no big deal. All you need is a little fine-tuning, some life coaching. You will be flattered with sayings such as, the power is within you. But that is a lie. The power to overcome sin is outside of you. It is in Christ. He is the one who has bought you back from death itself. He has made the necessary payment to redeem you, purchase you, win you from your sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. Christ is your Savior. And how has he redeemed you, purchased you, and won you? We continue in the Small Catechism. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. Christ didn't make the payment with gold or silver or $100 bills. It was not a clean transaction. It wasn't neat and tidy. It was bloody. That was the payment that would suffice. And once again, the world will balk at this. It says that's so gross and ugly. But if we're honest, so is our sin. The cross shows us its true nature and God's judgment against it. But by the innocent suffering and death of the Son of God for the whole world, that is how God saves you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Christ has bought you back. That bloody transaction has forgiven you of all of your ugly sins. And you are now clean, clean in God's eyes. For you have been clothed with Christ. Your baptism, this redemption is yours in your baptism. So you have been doused and drenched with those cleansing waters and the Word. And for what purpose is all of this? We continue. That I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Here's the thing. Christ has purchased you, won you in order to make you his own. You are Christ's. You live under his reign. You serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Christ has set you up to be under his reign. But the world will not like this either. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." You are under a different master. Do not be surprised when conflict and division happen. But know this. The fact that division happens is not because you go out and seek it. And instead, your view of your neighbors is one of love, even if your neighbor hates you because of Christ. Now, maybe at this point you're saying, "Okay, Pastor, we get it. We should expect a cross as a Christian." But I don't think I can bear these crosses. I've had that conversation with my brother over and over again. And to be honest, I'm just tired. I don't have the strength. I'm weak. And I feel like I've been weak in the past. I've even given in to the status quo, where I have chosen to be comfortable instead of bearing the crosses that have come my way. I feel guilty and weak. Well, might I add that if this is how you feel, the kingdom of God is near to you. For we do not bear our crosses because we have the strength to do so. You see, this world will continue to point to you and tell you that you have the strength to do so. It will even twist scripture and say, "God will never give you anything you can't handle," as if the strength is within you. And that is, by the way, is not even in the Bible. But rather the strength is in Christ. No, we bear these crosses because Christ is our strength. We would not be able to bear them on our own. It's all Christ. And hear the words of St. Paul. St. Paul, when he faced the thorn in his side, that he pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." See, it's okay to feel weak, because Christ is your strength. See, this is so evident for Paul that he then goes on to say, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." For Christ is our strength. And all the good stuff that we have as disciples of Christ is from Christ. So we live in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. But whose righteousness, innocence, and blessedness is that? It's Christ. He has given it all to you, free of charge. He is the one who is righteous, who's fulfilled the law of God on your behalf. He is the one who went to the cross innocently and did not deserve death. He is the blessed one with whom the Father is pleased. All that is good is yours in Christ. And Christ even gives you this family. This family here, so that we might bear our crosses together. For you are never alone when it comes to bearing a cross. If you look around, you will see people who bear one another's burdens. As the body of Christ, we never bear our burdens alone. Christ is our strength. And on what basis can we have confidence in all of this? We continue in the small catechism. Just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, this is most certainly true. Christ has risen from the dead. Death, the wages of sin, could not hold him in the grave. And now he lives. He lives by the power of God. Christ died, but overcame death. He faced the cross, but overcame it with life. And this means one very, very important thing. The cross does not have the last say. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You have turned my weeping into dancing. The cross and suffering is not eternal. The resurrected life is. And so it is with the crosses that we face in this life. Though they hurt, though sometimes even in the midst of families, even if they last for years or decades, we know that the hurt and the pain are temporary. And in the midst of these crosses, the Lord will use them to refine us through the fire and to fix our eyes ever more surely on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For it is Christ who is the one who overcame cross and death and the power of the devil for you. And because we are in him, we share in his life. And because of this confession, then, don't expect anything less than a cross in this broken world. And sadly, that cross might even result in lines that come between families. But also, don't expect anything less than Jesus' life and Jesus' peace, even in the midst of this world's trials. All the strength, the power, the wherewithal, the faithfulness to bear your cross is not your own. It is Christ. Always has been, always is, and always will be, until the day when the crosses of this life are but memories and the resurrected life is everlasting to everlasting, just as surely as Christ is risen from the dead. Amen.